Is it Mr. Harris?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court, William Harris appearing for the appellant, Ms. Pam Monty. I'm not going to reserve any time. Ms. Monty requests that this court would reverse the decision of the district court in this matter. As the court is aware, protection orders are reviewed de novo. In this particular case, there was insufficient evidence to support the district court's finding that the protection order should be put in place. As the court is aware, in this case, Ms. Monty was a patient of Dr. Edney for 6 years. During that time period, she had multiple surgeries done by Dr. Edney, different plastic surgeries. At one time period, the doctor actually saved Ms. Monty's life, so she was very, very grateful for that. During her testimony, she testified that she did send the doctor a Christmas present. She did send the doctor a Valentine's Day present, but when the doctor testified, he never testified that he felt threatened by Ms. Monty. It's indisputable that she did call during a short time period 17 times, but she was scheduled to have a surgery. She was trying to confirm that reservation that she was indeed having the surgery. So in short, based on the testimony and this court's ability to review de novo, we would argue that there was insufficient evidence to support.
What did the doctor actually testify to?
He testified that she called multiple times and that he actually called her and told her, do not call, I can't see you anymore, I will refer you to someone, but you can't continue to do this. So that's what he testified to Chief Justice.
Did he come close to saying he was threatened?
I don't believe so.
Did he say that she threatened to file a malpractice claim against him or report him? And is that enough for a threat as harassment is defined in our statutes?
I don't believe that rises to the level of an actual physical threat.
Does our statute require a physical threat?
It doesn't, ma'am. She did say that, and there's no dispute on that, but my position and her position is her intentions were that over the course of the 6 years that she was his patient, there was a time to where she got sick and she could potentially file a malpractice suit against that, but I don't think she got to the point where she actually said she was going to file a practice suit against Dr. Edney. And with that, that doesn't rise to the level of a threat.
Most of the, or I will say many of the harassment protection orders that courts see involve family situations, divorces and ex-spouses harassing or arguably harassing each other. What in this situation did your client lose by having a protection order?
Well, her main issue was, her position was, once the doctor told her he would no longer see her as a patient, she was okay with not contacting him again or no longer going to him for services. Her main issue with the protection order is that this is a public record and there's a record out there showing that she was harassing this doctor even though she wasn't. So that would be her argument as far as the main reason why she's disputing this protection order.
Was at some point the doctor terminated the doctor-patient relationship with your client?
I think that is correct. The doctor did say that she should see someone else. So I think that is fair, Justice.
And after that, didn't she continue to call?
He told her that he would help her find someone else. And as a patient, in her belief, as a patient going there for 6 years, she was going to call in to get clarification on that. Obviously, she shouldn't have called that many times, but as I go back to it, doesn't, from the record, it doesn't seem like it rises to the level that she was actually threatening him or harassing him.
Is threatened a subjective question of fact, or is it an object? Would a reasonable person feel threatened, or is the question, did this particular doctor feel threatened?
I think it's objective. Based on the scenario that he was her doctor for 6 years, and also he was using it that she had some charges in Iowa as one of the bases for requesting the protection order, which had nothing to do with him. So I think it would be on an objective standard, Justice. So with that, we would request, based on there was a lack of evidence to support a finding of a protection order, and ask this court to reverse.
What kind of things was she saying after the doctor-patient relationship's terminated and there's these calls? Does our record tell us what was said in these calls?
She was calling to get another doctor. That's my understanding, Justice. Subject to any questions, I forfeit for the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ernst, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Court, good morning. I represent Dr. John Edney in this case. My name is David Ernst, and Dr. Edney was the original petitioner for a harassment order in Douglas County Court. And after the order was entered by Judge McDermott, there was a notice of a hearing filed by the appellant in this case, and we took the case to a hearing. By way of background, Dr. Edney is a respected plastic surgeon who's been in Omaha for 45 years. His practice with aesthetic surgical images. He was taking care of this patient for a number of years, as counsel stated, did a number of surgeries on her, and as counsel stated, she felt he had saved his life. At some point during this relationship, however, the appellant began feeling romantic feelings toward the doctor, and she expressed those by first bringing a Christmas card to his office, not mailing it, but bringing it to his office. A couple of months later, she brought a Valentine's Day card to his office. And it says, if you read it, it's part of the record, that she loves him.
Is that a threat?
That's not a threat, no, but that was the beginning of the threat. So after receiving the two cards,
That was on the signature line, correct, at the end? He didn't say, I love you in the body of that. At the end, it says, love you, and then signs her name.
That's correct, yes. The cards in and of themselves are not a threat. But he felt very uncomfortable where the relationship was going. He's a married man for 45 years. He began talking with his office manager about terminating this relationship, which he has an absolute right to do. And then they began receiving a host of phone calls to the office. She also called the office and wanted to come over there and bring him a birthday gift. And so as things escalated, he contacted a security service to ask for advice. They learned that the appellant had been arrested in Mills County, Iowa for assaulting a police officer a year before, and so the level of concern continued to rise. So he was advised by a security consultant to file for a harassment order. Prior to that time, he had terminated the relationship in a telephone conversation that took place on March 27. His office manager was listening in on the phone call. It was recorded, it's all part of the record, and she took that news pretty well. But then she called back the very next day, and there's a ranting 3-minute conversation with Dr. Edney where she is threatening him, and she's sounds like she may have been addled at the time, making all kinds of comments about him abandoning her, and I'm not going to let this stand.
What was she threatening?
She clearly threatened a lawsuit. She threatened to report him to the Board of Medicine. And some of her threats were somewhat veiled.
Is that the kind of threat that the harassment protection order statutes is designed to handle, if you will?
I think it is.
A threat of a lawsuit? I mean, any plaintiff in a Med-Mal case that has their say, I'm going to sue you, that's harassment?
Not any plaintiff, but a plaintiff that has course of behavior, which is escalating. And of course, Judge McDermott had the chance to listen to that phone call, which was part of the record. And she's talking in a high-pitched voice. It's very incoherent. And he denied a number of allegations that she made in that phone call, as the record reflects. She accused him of improperly touching her. He denied that. He said, Pam, you know we have chaperones in the room at all times. And the reason we do that is to try to prevent people from claiming touching being some sort of sexual act.
Is a threat to out someone for improper touching the sort of threat that the harassment protection order statutes are designed to address?
Not specifically, but I think it can be part of the overall threat in this case.
What sort of threat do we have beyond the Med-Mal suit and beyond the I'm going to tell people you touched me? What threat do we have beyond that?
Well, we have multiple phone calls to the office. And then as Dr. Edney learned after he filed this, but before we went to the hearing in front of Judge McDermott, the appellant had two previous actions that she had filed, harassing a gentleman by the name of Bond, James Bond. I can't make that up.
When did your client learn of those other protection orders? And if it was after the application for protection order in this case, what significance should we give that?
I think you should give it a lot of significance because it may not have been the reason he filed the action, but he became aware of it, and it was evidence in front of Judge McDermott.
When did he become aware of it?
Excuse me?
When did he become aware of it?
During that month before the hearing, in between the filing of the original action and the hearing itself. We actually uncovered it, you know, in our search preparing for the hearing. It's important when you read the earlier harassment actions because it shows this pattern of harassment that this woman has, and it's unrelenting. If you look at the exhibit in the record from the earlier action filed by Mr. Bond, she called him multiple times, very similar to what happened in this case. In that earlier action, which was tried to Judge Durr in Douglas County District Court, there was evidence that she would call and she invited him to go down to Nashville with her. And he was a married man, and he was concerned about that. She called back, and she would be masturbating on the phone, and I think 5 or 6 different times, according to that action. So Judge Durr in that action found that there was a pattern of this harassing misconduct and that the standard had been met. So he enters the order. She appeals that to the Court of Appeals, and we have that as part of the record. And the Court of Appeals in that case determined that that order was appropriate, that the standard had been met, that this was threatening behavior, that he felt threatened. Let me step back for just a moment and correct something that was said by counsel, both in their brief and in oral argument. He said there was no testimony that Dr. Edney felt threatened. 3 different times in the record, he says he felt threatened for himself, for his family, and for his office. So clearly we have the kind of evidence that this court has said you need to have to sustain one of these actions.
Are you, in the same question I asked opposing counsel, are you pivoting from a subjective view of this particular person felt threatened to the objective view of a reasonable person? A reasonable person would have felt threatened by this set of facts. Is it subjective or objective?
The standard very clearly is objective. And I think we have all the evidence that any court would need to find that they would feel threatened if this had happened to them. Going back to the earlier case, so it was appealed to the Court of Appeals, and they decided that Judge Durr was proper in entering that order. So it continued for a year. When that order ran out, what happened? She started calling Mr. Bond again. And so he filed a second petition for harassment and got a second order entered by the court in Omaha. That time she chose not to appeal. So in this case, the sole and discrete issue is, did Judge McDermott have enough evidence before him at that hearing last year to enter the order? And the resounding answer to that is yes. He had abundant evidence that Dr. Edney felt threatened, and he had abundant evidence that any objective person would feel threatened by the behavior of this woman.
Your client had the burden of proof?
Yes.
And what level of burden of proof did your client have?
Preponderance of the evidence.
We
felt it was met, and Judge McDermott had little difficulty in finding that the burden of proof had been met. We asked this court to affirm the order of Judge McDermott and allow the protective order to stand for the protection of my client, for the protection of his office staff, and for the protection of his family. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do not want any rebuttal time.
Yes. Do I have any rebuttal?
Yes, there's 3 minutes and 21 seconds.
Okay. Briefly, if I may, sir.
You may.
Counsel testified that a lot of what Dr. Edney relied on as far as his fears were, was after he had filed the protection order. Objectively, the information he knew prior when he filed the protection order was that that Ms. Monty had brought him a gift in December and then brought him a note in February to show her appreciation for him saving her life. Based on what he knew at the time that he filed, there was insufficient allegations to support an objective person would feel threatened. So based on that, we would ask that this court dismiss or reverse the lower court's decision.
Does the statute, the harassment protection order statute, allow the court to consider things that the respondent may have done to someone else? So in this case, the interactions with Mr. Bond is I understand you're saying Dr. Edney can't rely on it here because he didn't learn it until after. But does the statute allow for that kind of evidence to be considered at all?
And my understanding and interpretation is that it's limited to the four corners of what was presented when the complainant filed the petition, not subsequent things that they learned after the filing of the petition.
I think Justice Papik's question was, if someone, to take a hypothetical, has previously said to someone, I'm going to get you, and then physically attacks them, and that's not the subject of the protection order, but the protection order allegation is that the person says to this person, I'm going to get you, but hasn't yet attacked them. Can the court consider that previous behavior in evaluating the threat?
I think it can.
All right.
With no other questions, I would release the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day, then, is State versus Ahmed M. Saeed. And my apologies if I have mispronounced that name. Mr. Cordes, good morning to you.